to others, but it's nothing like the real thing. What I have learned in my several years of teaching Mark is that the standard, typical, canned answers that sometimes you hear, well, this is how you would answer that, that doesn't really satisfy a lot of people. There's still lingering questions. And so, let's just be for real. This is a simulation. This is not the real thing. But we're still training each other on how to talk with people about the Lord. Okay, discipleship warning. Jesus said, what measure you use will be measured back to you. That's the truth with any Bible class that you'll ever attend. You will get out of the class whatever you put into the class. We are not going to spend a lot of time reading the text. The expectation, you with me? The expectation is for you to come to the class, have already read the text, at minimum. Sometimes you're going to be doing the bookmark homework and you're going to go, I'm not sure about this, and leave it blank. And that's okay. Come to the class, though, with that text digested already in your mind, so then we can jump right in. And you can hear other people as well in that conversation. That's the reason why I moved up here, so we could talk a little bit more about that. Okay. Let's look at the next part. Your bookmark. Yes, I made a kabillion copies of these. So if you lose
this one, there's much more up there, okay? So if it slides out or whatever, just get you another one. I also emailed it out so
you have it digitally in case that happens in a strange week for you or in a regular week. Depends on your personality. So a note about sections. On the front of this, you can tell that somebody started at the top and ran out of room at the bottom. So I'm going to explain. I wonder who that was. I'm going to explain how that works. So the sections are marked off, not by the blocks, okay? It says there, stay at least three ahead. Three sections would be 1:18, 9:15, verse 9 through 15, 16 through 20. That's three sections, okay? As you get all the way down, I started bolding down to 13:8. You see I bolded that because that's where I ran out of room, and so the next verse is just the next section where it stops. So the next section would be 9 through 13, and then 14 through 23. So I ran out of room, but that's just the section endings. If you get confused by the time we get there, then that's, we'll talk about it again. Also, these are sections that I have worked through with people. I do not feel like I have the corner market on sections, okay? You may find you disagree with me. Say, that's actually not the best section, the next break. That's fine. Just know the reason why I wanted to give you the sections was because we're all dealing with different versions. We kind of just need some uniformity. So try to kind of stay with this. There's a couple times where I will break a section because it's just too long. You know, it's actually really one long story, but it's way too long to digest just one, like for instance, Mark 13. It's really long, so you kind of have to break that down. Questions? Sections? We good on that? All right. We're going to get to the Bible, I promise. As you look in the back of on the back of this, you are thinking, wow, there is a lot here that I need to think about. I thought we were just reading with people. Are we reading with people or are we teaching them? Well, this is kind of like prepare for the best opportunity, and if you get just a little opportunity, you'll be overprepared. See what I'm saying? Somebody says, man, I don't know anything about Mark. Can you walk me through it? Or as it develops, sometimes that happens, where they're like, man, I'm struggling with this. Well, I've got some notes I've taken on that. That's why I like for it to be in paper, so that it's your handwriting. It's not something you were given by the Watchtower or something, right? It is something you thought about, you studied for yourself. The next part of that, are we reading or teaching? What are we trying to accomplish with them? In every section, there's this mountain. The very top of that mountain, there's a beautiful scenic view. So how do we climb that together with them? how do we take one step at a time up the mountain for them to see what this really is about? If you're an English person or you remember in school and ELA or literacy, the main idea, that's what we're looking for in each section. Lead me to a conclusion, don't tell me it. If you lead me to a conclusion and you help me see it, then I'll keep it. If you just say, this is what this is about. Is that going to stick? Not really. Not really. So we're going to talk about how can we lead people to a conclusion in the text and not just saying, this is what it means. The goal for our friend. Two goals that we should have. Number one, confidence. Why do people need confidence in reading the Bible? I've talked too much. Turn it over. There's a couple answers.
There's so many people in the world today who are telling them, you are not capable of understanding this. You can't do this.
Yes. So many people, if you didn't hear, so many people are telling others, you can't really understand this for yourself. You need a pastor. In fact, I bet a dollar on it, you start doing this with friends, you start talking to them, they're going to say, at some point, did you go to seminary? They're just going to say that. Because that's what they, if you have some knowledge about the Bible, you must have went to school for it. What's the second thing about confidence that is really important? So that's the misconception, right? But why are we trying to give them confidence?
They need to understand. They need to accept. It says this, and this applies to me.
Right.
It really does, and I need to act on it.
Right. Right. So one of the ways that we'll do that, I don't really have this on your bookmark, but I'll probably mention it from time to time. I'll probably model it in here. So where was that in the text? When they make that comment, where was that in the text? Where did you see that? That helps them reorient. Okay, that was kind of just me talking about the chosen or whatever I saw or heard in some class. No, where is it in the text? The second one is the authority of Christ. So somebody asked me recently, why Mark? I don't have strong reason for it other than A, I taught it a lot. B, it's short. Out of the four, it's the shortest. And it's very rapid. And what we'll see over and over is that Jesus is king. And if Jesus is king, what does that mean for me? I must obey. And stressing that over and over again to him is really important. Why? Are we just learning facts about Jesus? Why?
We have an ultimate goal.
Yeah, we have an ultimate goal. We want to submit to the king, and we're sharing that with them that, wow, this is what I need to be as well. And it's not pointing a finger, it's bowing to God. And that's what Mark, when you think about this with fresh eyes, that's what Mark is trying to do for us as new readers. We've never read this before. So let's read. With fresh eyes, let's read Mark 1:1-8. Mark 1:1-8. And we'll work through a bookmark together. I want to model this together, talk about it, and that way the next week you will feel more comfortable with what we're trying to do. So Mark 1:1-8. You've got that for me. Go ahead, Eric.
Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, let's talk about that first thing on your bookmark, W-B-Y-N. What did you notice? Did you read through there? What kind of jump off the page? Doesn't have to be anything deep. Not asking for that. Just what did you notice as you were reading? What kind of poem?
Prepare.
Okay. So there's something happening with John. He's preparing. Okay. Okay, there's some prophets called out here. Let me just make a side note. Mark, you're going to find in the next sessions, is really friendly. It's great. It starts out like algebra. So the very first section is one of the hardest sections of the book. So I don't discourage you in that. I'm not trying to intimidate you, but it is a little bit more challenging to, well, let's just make this plain English speak here. So what else did you notice?
A voice crying in the wilderness.
Okay. All right. There's a voice crying in the wilderness. And is, remember in that section on the bookmark, it says, underline circle, draw arrows, notice repeated word. Okay. Is that repeated? Voice crying in the wilderness, is it repeated in that section? Okay, sorry. I had a bunch. Who else needs a bookmark? I got a bunch. I mean, the other three. Thanks, Fred. Or you just want one? You just want one for yourself? All right. Yeah. So yeah, at the top of your bookmark, what are some repeated words that will help us a lot of times with what Mark is trying to emphasize? Repeated words.
Baptized.
That's a big one. Okay, baptized, four times. Baptized. Okay. Watch. Five times. Okay, sorry. Correction over here. See where I'm going? Cheating breath, man. No. Baptizing? Okay. Okay. All right. No extra credit for you, though. With the suffixes. Yes.
He, him, his.
Okay. All right. That's a little bit trickier with the he, him, his. But yeah. You have
one? Oh, I did, back to baptism, but he makes it clear that he's teaching about baptism that is for the repentance and forgiveness of sins.
Okay.
So it's not just talking with somebody instead of somebody, you know, like you've talked a lot of being baptized, but this is a different baptism he's talking about.
Okay. All right. So, baptism for the remission of sins. We'll talk about that. That's good. Very good. I'm just trying to explore it. Yes?
Also, since it in verse, the latter part of verse 8, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So, we got the Holy Spirit entering the picture, which everybody gets tense, you know, when that happens. They're like, well, what do they understand? What do I understand about it? About him? And I don't know if somebody answered this. In verse 3, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, is wilderness repeated? Where is it repeated? Verse 4. Okay? That's important to what we're seeing here in the text. I'm not going to be doing this every class, okay? But I'm putting this up here just as a model for you to kind of see that this is mine, what I'm looking at here, and how I am looking at connections of what it's trying to follow. Some of those, I'll have to explain, they're my thinking. They're not yours, so, you know. But then others, I circle baptized, you know, several times, I guess in this one. But that's a repeated word. That's important to this section. One of the things that I have seen hinder us look at the gospel especially. Some of you have been Christians for 30 or 40 years. I'm especially talking to you. Something that we have been hindered in the past, there is a time to look at the parallel. You know what I'm talking about? The old McGarvey fourfold gospel where you see all the gospels together and you see the story together and you're comparing them and, you know, what's the chronology and all that. And we say, well, this must have been, you know, this is after Jesus' birth because he doesn't mention it there, and so this is this. And we compare it with Matthew, we compare it with Luke. And what we have, unfortunately, what we miss in that there's a time for that, especially with evidences. But what we miss in that is the beauty of what the writer in this particular gospel is trying to stress. What are they trying to stress? Some of us just read over verse 1 like it was no big deal. And that is the hugest deal that you could ever imagine, starting a book that way. That's humongous. I'm not faulting you for that. I'm just saying we're familiar with it. So we got to look with fresh eyes at what we're talking about. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is no birth story. There is no genealogies. This is the book I'm writing about, the Son of God. Boom. Here you go. It's in your lap. So Mark is very forward with what he is trying to accomplish in this book. So, let's see. All right, let's look real quick before we jump into some questions to ask. Let's look at a suggestion. This is not, I'm not trying to bind this on you. You do your own thing. This is my system. When I come up with questions, I will write the number of that question next to where it is in that paragraph. So you see, I have three questions in this section over in chapter 4. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Then, on the right side of the page, you see it. 1, 2, 3. There's the question. So whenever I am asking the question, I know exactly where I'm referencing. So that helps me. So this is my notating. Okay? So I've got the verse at the top. This is like shaving the back of your head. I don't know if you're kidding. Okay. Verse 13 through 20 is the verses. Then I have the numbered questions. And then I have the main thing. I can't forget the main thing, so I circle it. It's really important. Sometimes I have it written at the top. Sometimes I have it written at the bottom. I have a split personality with that. Anyways, main thing. Okay, and then I have PQ, possible questions. And I have that written at the very bottom of that side of the page of what might they ask. Now, as you begin working through this, and you think of a possible question, if you know the answer, you're going to write it down. Like, possible question. Who was Jesus? Well, I don't need to write that down. If they ask, I know who it is. Okay? But you'll see, in this section here, I have some written down. I feel more confident about now than when I first studied it, and I don't need to reference them, but it's nice to have when you're first studying. So, possible questions is important to think about from fresh eyes. All right, let's look then at the main thing back in 1:1-8. So, I have an asterisk right there. It's Austin's main thing. It's a lot like interpretation. We all interpret communication, all of us. There's a vast spectrum of how accurate that interpretation can be about any communication. And it's the same with the main thing. I might have a main thing that I'm pretty convinced about, and then I come here one Wednesday night and go, I think this is really what this section's about. I'm going to edit that. That's really good. So I don't want you to think like I'm trying to guess what Austin's main thing is. Your main thing might be better or the same in what you want to stress with somebody. So this is in that bookmark, discover the main thing. What's the one thing my friend needs to know? Looking at this, does my friend need to know when Isaiah wrote? What time period? Does he need to know that? No. Yeah. That's not the main thing. Does my friend need to know that now, today, we are baptized to forgive us of sin just like they were? No, not this point. That's jumping way ahead. They just need to understand what is being said here in the text. We can talk more about that when we get to the end of Mark. What is the main thing of what Mark is stressing in this section? Just like literature, sometimes the main thing is the very beginning or the very end of that section. Sometimes it's not. So what do you think reading that? And maybe you didn't read it ahead of time. Again, I told y'all you didn't have to prepare for this, so don't feel like you're missing out here. What do you think?
This first section here?
Yeah, what do we? You know, just kind of a succinct, this is what Baptist, no one should say John the Baptist prepares a way. That is cheating. Don't read yourself Bible. Many times those are not right as far as, it's just very generic. Go ahead.
I think maybe a slightly different way of saying it is someone great or greater is coming.
Okay, someone great is coming or greater than John, okay?
The forgiveness of sins through baptism.
It is an important concept here. When you think about how different that would have been for a Jew, I think it's important to talk about. But is it the thing that Mark wants us to find out from chapter 1?
But Jesus is the Son of God. There are so many people that think that Jesus was just a man.
Okay, yeah. You know, people that I know that have read the Bible are just like, Jesus was a good teacher. And here, right out, it's not just he's a good teacher. He is the Son of God. I mean, right here in black and white. Other thoughts?
Well,
or amens.
Basically, John, it begins with the beginning here. The baptism that's being talked about here is not baptism that we're going to get later in the chapter. it's John's baptism with a slightly different because there's been no forgiveness of sins. So that's why he's preaching unto repentance, not for repentance. So it's a little bit different. So you look at it like it's beginning to let this happen, and he was coming, and then he gets into who's coming after him and what he's going to do.
Okay.
So as we move down through the chapter there, that's what we have to kind of emphasize as we're going along, or introduce them, lead them to the fact that that's what's happening.
Yeah. This is very much preparatory remarks, kind of what they started out with saying. It's kind of building to a crescendo of the next section, really. And so we're not going to be able to develop all of those ideas. I do want to remark, just push back a hair on verse 4, this is a baptism for forgiveness. Leviticus teaches that they were given sacrifices, and it says for forgiveness. So I know sometimes people say there's no forgiveness. Well, there really was forgiveness. But God passed over the sins that they weren't paid for, and Romans 3 talks about that, but God did forgive them in their sacrifices. This would have been novel or new to say, you get washed and you'll be forgiven, not purified, but forgiven. A lot of Pharisees rejected that as heresy. That's not true. That's not going to happen. So, let's talk about, we'll work toward that main theme. Should I just go ahead and say it here? Yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. My main thing is the very first verse, that Jesus is God. Not just Jesus is the Son of God. I know that that's true. But in that culture, if you're the Son of, then you are deity. And he is going to make some claims through here. So my first remarks. I have a thing about remarks. You see, under bookmark remarks, I need to make before I ask a question. I don't have any really for this section because we just started. But sometimes it's helpful to be like, just so you know, this is the same context, the same conversation. Our Bibles are terrible at that. They'll divide it up, and it's like, he's still talking to the same people. You know, certain helpful notes. Oh, he's come back over here. He's been in Capernaum for this long. Now he's over here. Helpful things for you. Just kind of set the stage for them. I will have, right next to when I write my verses at the top of my page, I'll write this kind of a thing I want to say before I actually ask a question. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the connection there, the introduction of the prophets is to confirm the statement that he just made about Jesus as the Son of God.
Yes.
The prophecy was that the messenger would come to prepare the way for Yahweh, and Jesus is introduced as the Son of God connected to these prophecies. He's pointing out this is the time of fulfillment
right.
for the promises made to Israel. regarding the comfort, the salvation, the judgment.
Right. If you didn't hear that, Jesus is God, and prophets are testifying of that. Now, how do we break that down for them? Because it's written in poetry in verse 2 to 3. So let's work through that. The level one question that I have, just think about that as we are trying to make sure they're with us. As far as, sometimes I'll ask, what did you notice? I have that as my, or what stuck out to you, or what did you think about this section? You know, just a generic, let them talk and see where they what they saw. It can be closed or it can be open. So in this one, I have a pretty specific question. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to work through this because we're out of time. I want you to kind of see where we're going. So Mark states, this is what I have written, Mark states right away that he's writing what? There's your phone, right?
The gospel of good news.
The gospel, and they can read that. They can see it right there. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I have in my notes, right under that question, I have gospel dash Christ dash Son of God. Let me explain all of those. Because all three of those, just forget it. Number one, what's the gospel? It's good news. If they knew it, they might know that. But what did it mean to them? It was the news of the king. The king would send out his couriers, and they would tell the gospel, the king's daughter had a son. That's the gospel. Well, he says, I had the gospel of the good news of Jesus. Now, they read Jesus Christ as what? His last name. That's not what that's saying. I need to explain. You see my arrows there? Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God. So Jesus Christ, the word Christ, is code for anointed one. And I would say in the Old Testament, they anointed the king with oil to show he was a king. And here Mark is saying, this is the good news of Jesus the King, who is also the Son of God, which I just said earlier. That is, he is deity. He is not just an offspring of him. He is part of him. So that's the very beginning. I need to explain that to them because we read through that and we go, yeah, I don't know. But that's like I said, this first section is meaning, guys. It just is. That's a lot right there. Now, we could go in and talk about verse 2 with them, but I want to get them focused in on the character here. So I asked the question, this is a level 2 question, and that is the bridge. You know, I'm trying to get them to think about what's happening in this text. So there's this man, John. And my question, this question two, is what was John proclaiming? What was he preaching, proclaiming? And they will fill in the blank there in verse 4. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But notice, where was he? This is where I'm walking through my arrows, trying to get them to see. Okay, he was proclaiming in the wilderness. And Mark just said that there was a prophet who was talking about someone was going to cry out in the wilderness to prepare the way of food. God, the Lord. So what is Mark trying to tell us John is saying about Jesus? That he is God. In fact, he is preaching in verse 7, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Which shows what? Most people don't get that picture. But you might need to clarify a little bit more. What does that show? Humility? Okay. Yes. Yes. Well, also, that was the servant's job, was to take the sandals off, wash their feet. He's saying, I can't even be a servant. He is that great. I baptize with water. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I just have a note there. Remember, sometimes we're planting seeds as well. So I have a note. Third point there is at the very end. Notice, baptism means immerse. Fully immerse, cover over. So I'm covering you over with water. He's going to cover you over with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Spirit of God. So we're talking about someone not human to be able to do that. Okay, possible questions. What I would state is the main thing. Jesus is God. Here we have the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and John is proclaiming that he is God. Right at the gate. All right, now, possible questions, yours and theirs. Got a couple minutes. Is there anything in there that you need to know? We don't need to be ashamed here. This is learning together. That you feel like you need to know to be able to answer. To understand that better, actually, is the question.
Well, how mighty was John when he says, he who is mightier than I? Or is that just a generalization? Like,
it's a comparison statement.
Just a comparison.
Yeah. But he is so far greater than me. I can't even touch his feet.
I thought he was saying, you think I'm tough.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, with translations. We're going to run into several different things, and sometimes it's going to be really good. Other times you're going, really?
Because it really describes deeply locusts and wild honey, clothed with camel hair and leather felt, and it's like a lot of detail.
Yes. So that feels, we didn't talk about that. So somebody might go, why is he acting weird? And he, you know, eating bugs and
dressed
weird. Yeah, and dressed weird. And, what would you say? Okay, so prophecy talked about that he would come in the spirit of Elijah, and Elijah had some of those things, but not all. This is what I would say in that. This is a common question. Prophets many times acted out the spiritual state of the people. John is dressed poor. He's eating poor. He's in a wilderness. They are in a wilderness, and they are poor spiritually. The prophets over and over do sign acts. It doesn't tell us that he was doing a sign act, but when prophets act weird, bingo, that's what's happening. They're doing things to show what is the state of the people.
Is that to try to connect with them? Or?
No, it's just like Ezekiel. It's just a picture of they are in a wilderness. In Isaiah, they will be in a wilderness until the Spirit is poured out. Yes, sir?
First, they make it look like baptism under Christ will not be with water.
Yeah. Verse 8, if you didn't hear that, kind of feels like baptism under Christ will not be with water. So that is just a generic question I've got of what does verse 8 mean? What does that talk about? So I have this written down, and by the way, this PowerPoint, I'm not going to sell everyone because they're going to be more generic like this next slide. Like that. Yeah, there you go. So that's what mine looks like on the other side here. So that what does verse 8 mean? I'm going to send this PowerPoint out so you can have it. I wrote down a Jew would have heard that, and he would have known the prophets, told about a time when God would pour out his Spirit and bring new life to the nation, and then to the world, and the world would have salvation. And so what they didn't understand about a lot of that was it was going to come through the Son of David. It wasn't just going to be this thing. But he is already lining up that Jesus is going to be the one who covers his people with the Spirit. So you can look at Isaiah 32, Ezekiel 7, Acts 1, possibly about that. So, thank you all so much for participation. Again, three sections, 1-9 through 15, and then the next two there next week. We'll just jump right in.